This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Welcome in, Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Get your calls in now. The final score from Philly, Eagles 34, Jaguars 17. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Wow, 17-0 at half, and a total turn after that halftime locker room. 34 unanswered points, third down conversions were an issue. Henny was night and day, first half, second half. You could pick from a few things today, but in the end, it's a loss in week one.
Henny, the offense as a whole, the defense, the pass rush, night and day. I mean, the first half, Nick Foles looked like a beaten man.
Yes, he did.
At one point, JP, he's limping around. Mark Sanchez is warming up on the sideline. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I think Fred's right. If you just tackle Darren Sproles on that play, even if he picks up the first down on fourth down, there's no guarantee that they get in the end zone there. They have not done anything offensively to that point. So if you put them in a position where they have to convert that and they're not able to, or if they have to settle for a field goal, I think it may be a different story. You get that quick strike, though, and you follow that up a little bit later on with the Macklin strike. You know, those big plays that can break your back, the Eagles got some of those today. The Jags hit them early in the first quarter. The Eagles really owned that in the second half.
Chad Henne today, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of quarterback questions coming up. I think that's safe to say, right?
I would imagine so.
Well, Henne at halftime was 12 of 17, 167 yards, two touchdowns, a rating of 141.1 at the half, which was incredible. Finished the day with an 89.9 rating. He was 24 of 43 overall on the day. You know, short fields, the offense was moving after those turnovers, got things done, and then started to stall. Early in that second half, three and out, three and out, three and out. Couldn't get any third downs. Just two different halves for Henne, and we've heard that story a lot from him.
Well, absolutely. And like Fred said, he wasn't atrocious. I mean, like, he didn't throw three picks.
Right, but he didn't throw any picks.
He when your quarterback rating comes down from 141 to 89, it just tells you what the second half rating must have been. It wasn't very efficient whatsoever. He wasn't helped out on a few plays. Marquise Lee had an opportunity to maybe go up and attempt to, as Jeff Logman described it on the broadcast, high point the ball. If he does in that circumstance, he's probably going to get run over by the defensive back and pick up a first down on a pass interference at the very least. But Mercedes Lewis had his hands on a ball that he typically you would expect him to bring in. But at the same time, you know, Henne missed Mercedes. It's just a little bit out of the reach on a couple of those touch passes that weren't quite there. Those were the short fourth downs, third downs that Fred Taylor was talking about you need to convert, and they practically didn't do any of it throughout the entire game.
A couple of bright spots today, though. Alan Hearns was a man early. Four catches, 110 yards, the two touchdowns on his first two touches. Fantastic day to really carry over what he did in the preseason, leading the NFL in receiving yards. Marquise Lee had six catches, 62 yards. They got Mercedes Lewis involved, six catches, 35 yards, but that fourth down ball was just over his head.
Well, you know, and you didn't have the threat of really, even if Toby Gerhardt was going to get going, he was going to rip off a 7 or 8 yard run. You didn't really have that threat of the big play in the running game to balance that. Even though McCoy, it took him a while to get 74 yards. You knew every time he touched the ball, you're kind of holding your breath as he's making guys miss in the backfield. I wonder maybe if they should have given Denard Robinson a few more looks in the second half to vary things a little bit. But regardless, they're not getting any push up front. Whether it's Toby Gerhardt or anybody else, you're having to make too many guys miss in the offensive backfield. And it's one thing if you're 2 yards past the line and Toby gets that first contact, he's going to carry that pile for another 3 yards. So you're talking about a 5 yard gain, but too often we see him doing that just to get back to the line of scrimmage.
The phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's get to the phone lines.
Let's do it. As a matter of fact, we're going to go up to the City of Brotherly Love, where Paul, I'm assuming, took in the game, and he joins us here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing today? I used to be a Jacksonville Jaguars season ticket holder, and unfortunately, I got moved up to this disgusting city of Philadelphia. Hey, let me just tell you something. The fans of Philadelphia are the absolute worst. I mean, there was a couple Jaguar fans there today, and I mean a couple. I really didn't see very much teal and black up there. But, man, they had beer thrown at them. I mean, they had food thrown at them. You know, and I felt bad for the good people, the couple people I saw from Jacksonville getting trashed like that, first off. But I just want to say one last thing here, is that first half, oh, man, that reminded me of the 1999 AFC title game against the Titans, man. We were up, we're doing well, we're doing things, and I'm like, man, this is going to be a great season. And just to see how bad it got in the second half, God, man, what is wrong with this team? Why can't we just seem to get things right? Are we that cursed by Coughlin?
I don't know if they're cursed or not, but it certainly had that feel that, I don't know, I think he was a little emotional there.
Yeah. You know, things. I see where he's going. 17-0, things are going well. Then you have the missed field goal, the blocked field goal, which is a little strange from Scobie. Doesn't happen much. The third down situation, and then it's a polar opposite in the second half. Just can't get anything done at all.
And JP, look, we all like to – our emotions all get the best of it. We're sitting there, we're thinking, boy, what is this week going to be like if they continue this on? It's 17 to nothing. All of a sudden, there's not a soul in sight who thinks they won't go into Washington and pound the Redskins next week. I mean, the playoffs, are they going to go 10-6? All this was out there, and you saw there's some really good things you need to hang your hat on. The defensive pressure fell off in the second half. When's the last time the Jags were able to get the kind of pressure that you saw over and over, one play after another in the first half? Not only getting to the quarterback, getting him on the ground, knocking the ball loose, coming from a variety of angles. That is the group that we think is going to be the most solid unit for this football team. And look, did it sustain for 60 minutes? No. But when your offense is going three and out, three and out, three and out in the second half, you can understand them getting worn down a little.
And for our call, it was in Philly. Paul, I think, was his name. Yeah, it's frustrating. But you know what? This is still a building season. I think Frank said it on the broadcast. The biggest lead the Jags had last year was 13 points.
Right.
They led 14-0 after, what, three offensive possessions. I mean, that's remarkable. Went up 17-0 in Philly against was supposed to be a really good team and certainly the favorite to win that NFC East. And growing teams have problems sometimes, too. And that's what happened in the second half. The problems were extended, the third down issues. This is not going to be an instant, hey, this team might not compete for the division.
Well,
year.
Look, there were no moral
victories. Everybody knows that going in.
Right, well, they should know that going in. But, you know, regardless, I think, again, not a moral victory here, but if you're looking at the final score, it's going to not be indicative of the way this game was played, clearly.
Yeah.
The Jags dominated it for a half and were in that game all the way up. You start in the fourth quarter, that's all you wanted today, being a fourth quarter game. Now, they didn't make plays in the fourth quarter, but in terms of being more competitive than we saw in the first half of last year, it was like night and day, no matter what the final score said today. Let's get Chris in Fleming Island next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, a couple of things. First, I'll start with a positive. Defensive line, I thought, was absolutely outstanding. I mean, it was franchise record number of sacks in the first half, and I think we got something good cooking there. I'm with you. I think second half, those too many three and outs kind of got those guys gassed a little bit. But I'm going to jump onto the subject I'm sure everyone's going to talk about this week, and that's Henny versus Bortles. I know Henny today was a microcosm of his career. You know, some good, some bad, mostly mediocre. And to me, a franchise quarterback is not mediocre. You got to play the guy that you're banking the future on. Blake outperformed him in the preseason. He's got the better arm. He's got the better upside. He's your better option here. And even if he weren't, what good is it doing for him not to be playing and not getting reps if we're not concerned about this year and next year's a year we're going to focus on and this year we're trying to develop players? Then why not let him get that out of the system like Peyton Manning did? The kid's got a good head on his shoulders. Let him work it out. Next year, he's got all the jitters out of the system, and he's ready to run. I just don't see how playing Chad Henne is doing this franchise any good, short-term or long-term.
All right, thank you, Chris. First of all, I'll say this. Who has suggested Chad Henne's a franchise quarterback? I mean, if you're going to say that's not what a franchise quarterback looks like, no one – I don't think the administration here, I don't think Dave Caldwell will call Chad Henne a franchise quarterback.
Oh, no, yeah, I think they understand if you draft a quarterback third overall, that's your franchise quarterback.
Oh, right.
Makes sense.
I think Fred Taylor – look, Fred can speak on this much better than we can. We told you last week, at least I did, I would have rolled with Blake Bortles after the entirety of the preseason. I think most people would have. But as Fred pointed out, look, they threw a few exotic looks. He said, look, I don't know how this kid's going to handle that. I don't know. The coaching staff has a better feel. We see, and I assume Chris probably saw more of the preseason than anything else, and that's fine. That's the glimpse you get. And Blake does look like he was, you know, at least on a par, if not ahead of Chad Henne based on that. But people don't want to hear it because I know they want number five. That's understandable. You're a fan of the team. You want to turn the page to the future. But consistently, they see him day in, day out. If they really felt like he was better than Henne right now and he was ready to go, why would they not put him out there? You know what I mean? I mean,
it's not a conspiracy to not play Bortles. Right?
No. I mean, look, Gus Bradley wants to win games. Dave Caldwell wants to win games. And they feel ultimately it's not just about winning games, though, this week, next week. It's about winning games for the next decade. And they've got a plan. That's what they're going to stick to. How long that timetable is, we really don't know.
I know a lot of folks aren't going to hear, not going to want to hear this, but you know, Henne made a couple of other nice throws that weren't caught today, too.
Yeah.
Remember the one on the, there was a couple on the sideline there that were just dropped in beautifully that just weren't able to be hauled in. A couple of throws
that were really nice. The throw coming out of the end zone to Hearns.
Yeah, it's a big call
That he hit was a big play. So the second touchdown was behind Allen Hurns. It wasn't a great throw, but in the end, sometimes you're going to make bad throws. Sometimes the guys are going to bail you out and vice versa. Overall, this is a story that's not going away anytime soon.
Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. If you're on the line, hang on. We'll get to you. Come protect the bank September 21st. Jags and Colts at 1 o'clock. Going to be here for the home opener and the best game day experience in the National Football League. Tickets are going fast. Get yours today at Jaguars.com. When we return, more of your calls and post-game analysis. Final score from Philly, the Eagles 34, the Jaguars 17. More of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
In a world where summer thirst runs rampant, a new type of refreshment is looking to rule. Something new, something big. Something real big. From the creators of Pepsi. The biggest thing to hit summer since the sun. It's Pepsi made with real sugar. Prepare to experience explosions of taste. Daring acts of refreshment and more flavor than one summer can handle. With amazing made with real sugar performances from Pepsi. Wild cherry and vanilla flavors. Plus, chilling performances by frosted glasses and ice cubes. This summer, refreshment has a new address. And it's closer than you think. Make it a real big summer with three new flavors of Pepsi made with real sugar. It's the only summer blockbuster guaranteed to leave you satisfied. Pepsi, live for now.
Yeah, I know, the game's on. And the last thing you probably want to think about is paying bills. So I'll keep it short. ViStar Internet Banking is free. It's easy. It's a safe way to quickly pay your bills and manage your accounts. And our mobile app, free from the App Store, is like having a ViStar branch in the palm of your hand. Go to ViStarCU.org. Because while you may want to forget about paying bills for these few hours, at ViStar, we never forget that it's your money. Member NCUA.
Hi folks, Frank Frangie here for the best barbecue in town. That's Bono's, and now it's the official barbecue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, you can get Bono's barbecue at 6 different locations in Everbank Field. You also get Bono's barbecue at 15 locations all around town with fast, friendly service, clean family restaurants, and that great, great taste of Bono's barbecue. If you want great barbecue, you want Bono's, and remember this, if there ain't a pit, it ain't legit. That's Bono's.
Jacksonville Jaguar Austin Pastor for Bowden Eye.
When I came to see Dr. Bowden, he gave me options and a game plan. One of the procedures I had done was Intacct. Before, my eye was shaped like a football. Now that I've had Intacct surgery, it's more rounded like it should be, which has improved my vision. It took 5 strokes off my golf game. Dr. Bowden changed my life.
Everyone has a role in life. Taking care of your vision is ours.
Bowden Eye and Associates, keeping the First Coast focused.
Let's face it, we're all looking for ways to win in business every day. Hi, it's Brian Sexton for the winning team at CopyFax, where they believe that productivity is the key to victory. That's why they've made CopyFax.com a full-service website. And forget about having to call them to order toner or report an issue. They can securely monitor your printer fleet and react immediately if they detect a problem. Time is money, and you'll find more of both when you use Copyfax to manage your business machines. Copyfax has always been the only office equipment supplier to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. A couple of later games today happening now, two at the 425 slot. The 49ers all over the Cowboys, 27-3. This is late second quarter. Romo has three picks today, Mike?
He's only thrown one ball that's hit the ground. He's 10 of 14. Unfortunately, three of them were caught by the 49ers. So not going well. And Carolina up 10-0 at the half over the Buccaneers, who have had 36 yards passing from Josh McCown. Javorski Lane, their fullback, had a 54-yard run. Otherwise, they had three rushing yards in the first half. So Bucs in, I don't know what form they are in. Midseason, mid-preseason, off-season form.
Something. But one note about Bolden for San Francisco today.
He equaled Jimmy Smith's career mark with 862 receptions. Good now for 18th all-time. And that's a guy Jerry Sullivan coached back in the day. Some guys have it, as he said, you know, coming right into the league. And what do you have, a 200-yard game in his first game in the National Football League receiving. So he's picking up right where he left off to start this season. Let's get back to it. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We go to Mandarin to talk to John next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, John.
Hey, we all got excited for a half, you know. But I just think it's popular thinking now that the NFL is going to the passing game and running backs aren't significant. If you didn't notice today how significant a running back is, then you missed the whole game because whenever you're at second and two and third and one and you can't get in, it happened in the preseason inside the 5-yard line, our running backs failed us. So if this notion about the passing game is important and running backs are a dime and a dozen, then I think our GM failed to get us the wide receivers and an offensive line. You know, our star wide receiver was an undrafted free agent. And our offensive line, we're not really giving Henny very much time. I don't think it matters who your quarterback is. We're going to be in trouble all year long.
All right, thank you, John. I didn't think that the pass protection was a big problem today.
Early, they were actually nice, and he had time. He got hit a couple times later in the game. But look, your GM is
without his right tackle. He's got a rookie playing right guard. You've got your left tackle, left guard, new guys that he's gone out. They didn't get any push across the board. You got a journeyman playing center. They tried to sign Alex Mack. They took a shot at him. And Cleveland matched it. So it's not like they're unaware of the problem. I think people just feel like, oh, you can recognize all the problems with your football team. You can fix them all in one off season. There are only so many draft picks you have. There's only, you know, you've got to attract the right free agents to come here. To me, it wasn't about Toby Gerhardt or Denard Robinson as much as it was those holes in the offensive line. I don't think it came down to who you had playing running back for you.
This is something we talk about a lot on the Monday night show with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli is – that line play in general is not what it used to be in the league. You know, there's just not as much depth in offensive line play.
They don't,
you know,
hit
it's hard
the offseason
to get guys
anymore.
Yeah, and the guys that are on the offensive line, they have 14 padded practices all of camp. They used to have that in 1 week.
Right, and people talk about how that has impacted tackling negatively. Jeff Loggeman will tell you that's impacted. The running game used to hit the ground running, no pun intended. When the season started, it was the thing that was furthest ahead of everything else because you had all these padded practices and you had all this contact and you were kind of in mid-season form, but now you're kind of feeling your way along. Let's go back to the lines. Gainesville is where Lucas is calling from on the Scoreboard Show. Hey, Lucas, how are you?
Doing pretty good, fellas. Hey, just a couple quick notes. One, you know, I think the defense looks pretty good. Just getting a lot of turnovers, you know, Clemens and Brancher, you know, getting a lot of pressure. I think our defense is good enough to, you know, have us be competitive in a lot of games and put the offense in a bunch of good situations. It's just unfortunate, you know, we don't have the running game. We don't have a good running back who can make moves for us. And we don't have a quarterback who can, you know, capitalize. So, you know, I understand, you know, you're playing three rookies out there. You know, you got rookies on the offensive line, new guys out there. So you don't want to throw in the rookie, but, you know, come week three, whenever everyone's a little more seasoned and Cecil's back, you know, I think we're going to start needing to see a real quarterback out there. So I'll take your response off the air.
Thanks for the call.
I mean, talk to Gus.
Yeah, you know.
What do you want us to do? You know,
we'll pass it along. I suppose. Right. No, but I see what he's feeling, because Cecil wasn't there today. They still got some things done early in the passing game. Hearns had a huge day, stepped up. But can you count on that consistently from him? Who knows? We'll find out next week if he can do it back-to-back weeks. And we don't know what Cecil's status is going to be next week.
And frankly, Cecil's not a Julio Jones type who's going to tilt the defense to one side of the field.
Not at all.
You know, I don't think they have that guy, at least at this stage of the young player's development. But, look, he's certainly going to help. He's your most successful veteran, the most accomplished veteran that you have. So he can't hurt to have him out there. But, you know, I get the feeling people feel like we are holding Blake Bortles back from getting in the lineup. You know, it's going to happen when it's going to happen. I do understand the frustration, but, you know, I think we know where that whole thing's going right now. Let's go to Kevin and McClenny. That's where we're going on the Scoreboard Show, 355 NFL 1. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. My question is, you know, with Texas beating Washington in next week, we're not even going to be sure who's their starting quarterback's going to be. Is it going to be RG3? Are they going to go to a backup? Do you think Jacksonville may want to go ahead and just, you know, Henny's the quarterback for now, but the offensive line has proved themselves. Do you think they should try to alternate just to keep Washington off guard?
Again, you feel like it's as if we have any control. First of all, there's no way RG3 is not the quarterback, barring injury, in Washington. You gave up three first-rounders and a second-round pick to get him.
And he threw for 267 today.
He's not getting benched for Kirk Cousins in week two.
Right.
So, you know, do we think they should alternate the quarterback? It doesn't matter what we think.
What do you think?
I think, like, you don't alternate quarterbacks. You pick one, you play him.
Well, that's what he wants to hear.
Should you pick Blake Bortles and play him? Well, that's what I thought coming out of the preseason, along with probably 95% of other observers. But it doesn't really matter what we think. I mean, we can have this conversation over and over, and I do get the frustration, but people are saying it like this idea has just dawned. Hey, has Gus thought about this? Has he thought about this number five guy? Yes, he has.
I think they have, yeah.
I think they have.
I think they've thought about it a lot. I think they've heard about it a lot.
And I'm sure it's been discussed behind closed doors more frankly than they discuss it, you know, in public.
That's true.
Let's go to Saqib up next here.
Hey, there he is.
Where is he? He's somewhere out there in Jacksonville. What's up, Saqib? How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you, man?
Good.
Great.
I think, you know, up 17-0, there's not a Jaguar fan that watched this game and said, "Wow, I was surprised. I'm shocked. I know you guys are shocked. I guarantee you guys are shocked. But can you explain to me why Gus Bradley would go? Your defense has done a pretty good job. Fourth down and one, on your own 30-yard line. Your defense has done a pretty good. Why would you go for? Why would not give your defense one more chance to stop them? You know they're gonna run. The Philly's gonna run the ball because they're up 7 points. I don't understand that." Logic. I don't understand why would you do that. Not give you. If the defense was getting gashed, I understand that. But I think they've done a pretty good job. So explain to me why would he do that?
Well, I mean, I think he felt like the defense was gassed at that point in time. When it happened, I didn't like it. I didn't like the idea with six plus minutes.
A lot of time left, and you're down. You don't have any time. It's like
you don't need if you stop them, you don't need timeouts at that point in time. And you realize if you don't make it. The kid's already made a 54-yard field goal today. He's in his range already. My bigger problem on that was after that, because the play call was there. Henny missed Mercedes, could have picked up the first down, and then who knows what happens from that point on. But you back him up, JP, you stuff him on the first couple of plays. All they're going to try to do is put this thing in field goal position to make it a two-score game. Who was looking for anything but LeSean McCoy? It was almost
they
forgot McCoy was going to get the ball on 3rd and 12, and, you know, he runs for the first down, and that was the backbreaker to me. So
I'm with you on that. I don't know. That's one of those where Gus had a feel, went for it, didn't get it. If the pass, that's the other argument. If the pass to Lori had to get it over a defender,
if it's complete, then we're saying, wow,
what
Gus,
a decision.
Right. He said, I mean,
who knows?
But I will say, at the time it happened, I didn't like it. The play call, Jed Fish gave a perfect play call. If you execute the play, it should have been
a
first down.
But I think at that situation, just a little too far back in your own territory.
For my taste, at that, everything going into it, down in distance and the whole situation of that football game, I would have punted it away. But, again, Henny hits Mercedes on a very makeable play. Then we're talking about maybe a different outcome as far as that goes. Let's see. How about Terrence on the north side next up on the Scoreboard Show? Hi, Terrence.
Hey, Mike. Hey, JP.
What's up?
Mike, well, I wasn't going to call it. I said I'm going to try to see if I can get in. Mike, there's no way, and JP, that this game should have been in the win column. I don't care how they look at it, how they try to dice it up. It should have been a win. So, I'm tired of Chad. I'm not. That's enough. We've seen enough. I don't know what guns them talking about. And if they don't put Blake in there, man, it's about to be a riot round. You know that, man. We got to get this done. So, they go lose next week, and he's still talking about that same old stuff. They got to bring him along. No, that's not going to work.
I would say get your riot gear ready because you know, I don't know what happens if they lose on the road again next week, JP. But, you know, people think that all the confidence they've expressed in Henny and all the support and all the molding this team that he is the guy, it's not going to change after
one
week.
The guy's a team captain, for goodness sake.
It's not. They're not going to pull the rug out from under him after 1 week. Now, you don't go indefinitely in this circumstance, but the idea that's it, we've seen enough. I that's fine. You can feel that way if you want to, but you're setting yourself up for disappointment if you think there's going to be a quarterback change.
Now, here's a question on this. If the first half was as poor as the second half for this offense,
that's a different
story. Is there
a
stronger story?
Well, I don't think it ever would have happened in week two regardless, okay? But let's say you had the first half went the way the second half did. The entire game went that way,
yeah,
right?
If it was three and out, couldn't do anything.
And then he followed that up next week by throwing two or three interceptions, whatever. Then I think all bets are off. It's possible. But, again, I think it's still possible if the offense falls completely flat on their face, but I would still be surprised just based on the sentiment that they've expressed in their belief in Chad Henne. Whether anyone else believes in him or not, as long as Gus Bradley does, that's the only guy that continues to matter. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351.
Phone lines are open. Phone lines are jammed, too. When we come back, more of your calls. I'm sure there'll be some quarterback calls in there, Mike. You'll look forward to that.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it right now.
34-17 final, Eagles over the Jags. More of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
Today's post-op press conference is brought to you by Baptist Health, official health care provider of the Jacksonville Jaguars and home of the Baptist Center for Joint Replacement.
We're here with Jim Davidson, 52-year-old electrician, and we're asking the tough questions about total knee replacement.
Jim, congrats on a successful knee replacement, but why now?
The pain affected everything I did, every day. It was time.
Why Baptist Health, Jim?
When I attended a joint pain Q&A session with their dedicated team of orthopedic pros, I knew it was the best place to be.
How's life after the operation?
I'm mowing my own lawn, teaching my nephew how to put it in the end zone, enjoying life day in and day out without pain.
There you have it, folks. To learn about the latest treatment options, register for a free joint pain Q&A by calling 202-CARE. That's 202-CARE.
Here's a riddle for you. What do you need to stay alive? But if you gave it away, you'd still be alive. Time's up. It's your blood. The Blood Alliance wants to remind you that now's the time to prepare for the unpredictable. They need life-saving heroes to go to igiveblood.com today. Find a location and make a donation. One pint takes 1 hour, and it can save up to 3 lives. Riddle solved. Go to igiveblood.com and be someone's hero today.
Want more SEC football? Now you can get it with the new SEC Network on Xfinity from Comcast. Get access to 45 live SEC football games that you won't see anywhere else. Plus, get hundreds of matchups across sports like basketball, baseball, and softball. And it's all available at home or on the go with Watch ESPN. Can't get all that with DirecTV. Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. All programming subject to availability. Restrictions may apply.
He's in the parking lot. He's at the stadium entrance. He's pulling out his ticket. Oh, my cherry pie. Will he go all the way?
Save the suspense for the game, not the gate. You're getting in with NFL Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the NFL where 100% of the tickets are verified by Ticketmaster. Don't settle for sold out. Get the seats you want. Buy securely from season ticket members and other fans.
Buy and sell tickets the NFL approved way at NFLTicketExchange.com. Together we make football.
Bud Light and NFL fans, this is the tale of Wayne Tupperhill, the man who spent the 97 Jaguars season calculating the perfect Bud Light to ice to cooler size ratio, who once knocked over a priceless marble bust to save a falling Bud Light. But there are many legends like Wayne, and Bud Light's rewarding them with experiences like an ultimate NFL weekend. Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens.
Ultimate NFL experience open to U.S. residents 21 plus. No purchase necessary. Ends 12/31/14. See upforwhatever.com for details. Void where prohibited. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Phone lines are open. Quarterbacks are a hot topic. JP Shadrick
with
Mike Dempsey.
No one wants
to talk quarterbacks? Nah, you know, it's only the most important position. Before we get to that, we'll update you on the games in action in the NFL. The 425 games are underway, and boy, the Cowboys are struggling. It's halftime in Big D, and it is 28-3, 49ers over the Cowboys. Like you said earlier, Romo, 10 of 14, 99 yards, three interceptions in the first half. Kaepernick, 11 of 13, two touchdowns in the first half. Panthers lead the Bucs 10-0. That's about halfway through the third quarter. No Cam Newton today for the Panthers.
Yeah, Derek Anderson versus Josh McCown.
Ooh,
the retread bowl going on in Tampa. All right, let's get back to it. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Over to the north side we go. Carol, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Yes, how you doing today? I would like to say, if we don't get Blake Bortles in there, we're not going to win nothing this year. No. This boy is clearly the better quarterback. Why is y'all going through all these back? Oh, Henny this and Henny that. Henny is not no Pro Bowl quarterback. He has not shown anything. This man is inconsistent. He's good right now. The next time he's not good, he's on, he's off, he's hot, he's cold. Listen, Blake Bortles, give us the best chance to win. Go ahead. We have nothing to lose. Just go ahead on with Bortles. He is a good – God blessed us with a good quarterback. Why don't somebody stand up at last to see this? Go ahead on with Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles could have easily beat that team today because Philadelphia was no big deal, as far as I'm concerned. Go ahead on and go with him. All this mess about old Henny this and Henny that, Henny's not showed me nothing but a hot and cold situation.
Thank you, Carol. Appreciate it.
Who said Henny's going to the Pro Bowl?
Well, that's the thing.
I don't remember saying that. Did you say that?
No one's ever. Henny's mom probably has never said that. I mean, come on. But that's okay. Look, people, I get it. Everyone gets it. They want Bortles in, but they create the situation like they're saying people are propping up Henny. The only people propping him up are the coaching staff. So if that's what you're anger is directed towards, I can understand you feeling that. My eyes, all of our eyes, showed us that Blake Bortles is a more dynamic player. All these things, I don't need to go through the laundry list again. But until the coaching staff turns that page, it's kind of a moot point. I mean, get it off your chest. That's fine.
Yeah, that's why we're here. We're here.
Express yourself.
We're listening.
Let's go. We are listening. Like Fraser Crane. Let's go to Chris and Mandarin next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
What's up?
Not much. I just keep hearing nothing but quarterback, and I don't know if people were watching the game, but to me, Penny, yeah, he's not the future, but the man threw a lot of good plays. He had two plays I could think of off the top of my head, the deep pass that was overthrown and the fourth and one. But outside of that, Henny, I think, threw a very good game. Huh? The defense got a lot better. My biggest problem was assignments on defense. You take away Chris Krasinski biting on that play action, giving Macklin deep open. You get the two safeties that went out to the outside on that middle run by Sproles that led for a touchdown. And you get the strip sack that led for a touchdown, that's 21 points. You take those 21 points off, we win 17-13.
Yeah, that last one, is even once the game's already decided at that point. You know, the strip sack, and it certainly goes down, and Fletcher Cox is glad he got the play, and the Eagles will take it. But at that point, the game's over, JP. I mean, they're down two scores. They haven't driven the ball any distance, really, in the entire game. It was the defense setting them up for scores early on. Once they were down 10, you knew they weren't going to be winning that football.
Yeah, it was that last touchdown, it is what it is.
But there are, yeah. I mean, he does point out a couple of key plays in this game, Chris did, that we talk about, and coaches talk about it all the time. A handful of plays separate the difference between winning and losing. But the problem is the Jags' margin is so thin right now.
Sure.
Because they have a 3-0 advantage in turnovers until that strip sack that is returned for a touchdown. So while the game was still in the balance, they were up 3-0 in the turnover department, converted those into points, and it still didn't matter in the end. It mattered, but it wasn't enough. They almost played a perfect first half in many regards and still couldn't put them away. And let's not forget, Scobie misses the field goal, has a second one blocked, and then you're talking about a different score differential throughout the entirety of the second half, and maybe that game's played differently in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the 36-yard field goal is blocked. You'd like to get that deeper and maybe punch that in. If you do that, it's a totally different animal altogether. It just didn't happen.
They don't have the margin of error.
I don't know what you want me to tell you.
To overcome enough mistakes. I don't know what I don't know what I want you to tell me.
What do you want?
I want to go to
it
Nick.
It should have been
Orange
50
Park.
To nothing at halftime.
It should have been. Nick in Orange Park, you're next up. How are you?
Hey guys, sure, you know the offense needs to cash in and everything, but if Cyprian isn't hurt, and you know, with all the safety play like the Darren Sproles run, you know, the safeties came up on the edge, he ran it right up the middle. If Cyprian's in that game, do you think they hold him under 17 and win this game?
Might be a little different. You know, Evans came in, he missed some tackles. He looked like a guy who had not been on the field a lot lately. You know, he missed a lot of camp with the ankle thing, and then, you know, one cut here or there, and running backs right by him. Maybe. You don't know, though.
It's
Do
possible.
You know?
You know what? The Eagles are saying, hey, what if our Pro Bowl guard doesn't go out of the game? Maybe we run it for $150 in the end instead of LeSean McCoy having to grind out 71 yards by making everybody miss. You could play that game all day. Possibly. But honestly, I don't think losing your strong safety for a half of football should be the difference between shutting out a team in the first half and allowing 27 points to the defense or to the offense as they got the last seven with the defensive score. Let's go to Robert in Mandarin next up here on the Scoreboard Show. 355 NFL 1. Hey Robert, how are you?
What's up, guys? Man, if the Jaguars lose two of their starting offensive linemen after one is already suspended, I just don't see how we didn't get any more pressure or stop the run better against three backups. If those were our three backups, I think we'd have been hurt pretty bad.
I think it's fair. You know, if the Jags' offensive line's in that situation, then it's just not as it's not a deep situation for the Jaguars' offensive line. They got pressure with the guys in there. I don't know what happened where they couldn't get as much in the second half.
You know what? If you want to look at
it, they still got some on him, though.
I can't really. Yes, you want to play 60 minutes. You want to continue to get that pressure. I'm not going to fault the defensive line when they put up a team record 5 sacks in the first half, right? I mean, they created the scoring situations for this football team. And if you're a Philly fan, you're sitting there at halftime, you're saying, wait a minute, this other team over there, they lost their right tackle, their center got cut, the guy who was supposed to be the starting center, and they're starting a rookie at right guard. You could say the exact same thing. Where was the pressure on Chad Henne? Why was he able to go out there and lead him to a 17-0 score in the first half? Hey, guys make plays, you know? They're all getting paid to be out there and make those plays. So I think you could play this game forever. Why didn't we get this? Why didn't this happen? I think Philly could probably play a little of that coming back the other way as well.
Phone lines are open. Phone lines are jammed as well. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Ford. Go further. A couple more segments left on the Scoreboard Show. Phone lines are jammed. We'll get to those calls coming up. More of your calls. We'll get you updated on the some scores around the league today as well. Final score in Philly, 34-17 Eagles over the Jags. More of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
Listen up, kids. This is Coach Gus Bradley of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Daly's Shell Stores are looking for you.
Coach, they're kids, so maybe go a little softer.
Oh, okay.
Daly's wants kids to have what it takes to sprint onto the field after kickoff and bring back the kickoff tee, as well as stand next to the players during the coin toss and even enjoy four pregame passes, club seats, and other really awesome prizes.
How was that?
Better.
Enter your kid this week at your local Daly Shell Store or online at daly'skickoffkid.com.
You say there's nothing quite like the feel of the open road when you ride a motorcycle. You know it takes concentration, knowledge, and skills beyond those required to drive a car. Ride Smart Florida would like to take this opportunity to remind you to enjoy the road, but to always ride smart. S-M-A-R-T. Say no to drinking and riding. Make yourself more visible to motorists. Always wear your helmet. Ride in control. Train regularly and get endorsed. Visit RideSmartFlorida.com for more details. Do you ride smart? This message is provided by the Florida Department of Transportation.
360 Access is your source for VIP experiences, fan travel, and game day hospitality for college and professional sports nationwide. So as you ponder the college football and pro games you're planning to attend, there's only one option for you to consider. 360 Access. You don't want to mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure you have the best experience at the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com.
Since 1945, Bueller Swiss watches have been designed to accompany sports enthusiasts right to the heart of their passion, to measure their performance, to provide immediate readout, and to ensure reliability and resistance in any ordeal. Bueller watches are available in fine jewelry stores throughout Jacksonville, Florida, and the surrounding areas. Bueller Watches are proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars football team. Go Jaguars!
The kick is up. It's good!
You can score a free Firehouse sub with the Jags Field Goals for Firehouse. Just make sure you register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. And if the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, we'll send you a coupon for a free medium Firehouse sub with purchase of chips and a medium drink. Visit jaguars.com/firehousesubs for complete details. It's Field Goals for Firehouse. Field goals have never been tastier. Firehouse subs. One bite, one taste. You're hooked.
Fans, NFL On Location is the National Football League's official event experience and hospitality source. NFL On Location provides exclusive access to NFL events throughout the year. You want to go to the International Series games in London this fall, the 2015 Pro Bowl, and Super Bowl 49 in Arizona? For unique experience packages that only the NFL can deliver, including tickets, VIP hospitality, and hotel accommodation. You want the NFL? Go to the NFL at NFLOnLocation.com.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show continues. Final score from Philly, 34-17. The Eagles over the Jags. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. And how about some more phone calls,
let's do
Michael?
I want to remind folks, we'll go to the bottom of the hour, but coming up, we got the fifth quarter post game with T-Wig and Hacker coming up here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
And so they'll take calls as well, if I'm not mistaken.
So if you don't get in the next 15 minutes with us, hang on. We will get to you, but let's see how many we can get in here, JP. Starting with John on the south side. John, thanks for the call. How are you?
Hey, doing pretty good. So the big issue I have is with a lack of identity with the coaching staff. In the first quarter, it was 4th and 1. We're up 3 scores. They decide to kick a 50-yard field goal that would still keep us up, you know, 3 scores. And then they basically go into a shell. Then he gets aggressive on the other 30-yard line. In the fourth quarter, we're down 7. If we're going to be aggressive, the coaching staff should stay aggressive the whole time. He just doesn't have a real identity. That's my biggest issue.
All right. I would say this. I don't think you just go, you know, put it all out there and let your hair go on fire every time. I think you got to pick your spot sometimes, JP. This team was not getting any push up front. They're not converting. Very first drive of the game.
Third and shorts.
They had a third and short and got stuffed for a 1 yard loss on the very first offensive drive of the game. They're not moving the pile. there, they go for a circumstance, and I understand Scobie missed the field goal, but it's certainly within his range, and I get it. It's still a three-score game, but now it's three touchdowns. You're up. You have a chance to go up 20-0, and Scobie certainly – I mean, he had plenty of distance. He just hooked the ball at the last minute. I don't have a problem with them trying to go for the field goal. It's not like that was – I mean, that's well within
Scobie's
range.
It's not like it's 62 yards.
No, I mean, he had that with ease in terms of the distance, and I don't think if you're – you know, my personal opinion, if just because you're aggressive in some instances means you have to go for every fourth and short or every third and short, you know, you say they went into a shell a little bit. They weren't making any plays. You know, they just weren't converting. They weren't getting anything going, whether it was Henny misfiring, drops, just nothing going in the running game. I don't know if they were being super conservative or they're just being ineffective in executing what they were trying to do. Let's go to Michael in Sarasota calling in on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Michael. Michael, we got you. Go ahead.
Just real quick, I moved down to Sarasota 2 weeks ago, and it seems like all of a sudden the Jaguars are Super Bowl contenders. I saw a great game today. I saw two touchdowns in the first half. And also, we kept a competitive game against the Philadelphia Eagles. What a great game to watch. Great stepping stone to, I think, a good dynasty if we keep it going.
All right, well, there's the glasses half full.
I want
for
the
you.
Pregame speech from this guy every
right?
week. I like that. We need him on pregame.
We're a step away from a dynasty now. That's a pretty big leap forward. But look, if you wanted to, you could certainly, if you're a positive person, you could spin it there. I don't think it was a great game. I think it was a great half of football. Yeah. And the fact that they were in the game in the fourth quarter, that's kind of what we asked for from them this week, right? I mean, you want to win them all, JP, but
you're going to win some of those or you're going to lose some of those. That's the way this team
in
is.
Position,
yes,
right?
And they weren't in the position a lot of times.
No, and they put themselves in that position and didn't come through today. Maybe next time they'll get that done. Right. We go to.
I like the positivity, though.
I do, and I think you're right. I think the Jags would like a few more of those callers right now from Sarasota. Next time we see Sarasota on the board, we'll go right to you. Let's go to Daryl on the north side next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, how y'all doing today? It's always good talking to y'all.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Hey, if Blake Bortles had a play today and everything still came out the same, the fans would have probably handled it a lot better. They would handle it a lot better, but it didn't. I wish they'd have started off a new season with fresh blood and high spirit. That would have helped him a lot. But if Henning, even if he loses another game by 1 point and they played a good game, they still going to be upset about it.
I think you're right, and I think Daryl makes a good point. Really the good fans point. Want the change, okay? And therefore, whatever Henny does, short of perfection, is going to be seen as severely lacking. And I think the feeling, and I understand the feeling, I don't think it's unjustified. Hey, if we're going to lose, if we're going to struggle, and we're going to be inconsistent, let's do it with this guy, the new guy, and get some of these growing pains out of the way. It makes perfect sense. We're not the ones holding them back. We would have had them in this week as well. But, I do think Henny is held almost to an absurd standard because people are so ready to move on to the next thing. And I get the desire to move on, but I don't think I think people are hypercritical of every mistake that Chad Henny makes.
It's really sensitive right now. And if Bortles is in there, some of these same things most likely are going to happen.
Hey,
that's just what happens.
What if Blake's in there and he throws two pick sixes in the first half and you're down 14-0 instead of – you don't know. You assume that it's going to go well, and maybe it would. And I do think Daryl's right. People are more willing to accept the losses in the up-and-down play if it's furthering the development of the rookie quarterback, and they don't understand how his development could be moving at all if he's standing there holding the clipboard. Let's go to Leon in the Town Center area. What's up, Leon? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
I just, number one, I'm heartbroken. You know, I take this thing real serious, you know what I mean? But I tell you what, consistency, that's all I really want. I can't ask for a lot out of a young team, you know, but just being consistent. And also another thing that I've always hated watching my beloved Jags, they don't know how to put them away. They don't know how to Muhammad Ali anybody. You know, you let them stay around and leave them breathing. And, you know, you go through 10 packs of cigarettes during the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. You know what I mean?
Don't kill yourself, man.
I mean, they need to put the Jags on like the cover of the Newport box or something. I mean, it's crazy.
Leon. Hey, take it easy, brother. It's not worth destroying your lungs over. Hey, look, man. I get it how you feel, man. But I don't feel, JP, watching this game today the same way I felt watching the first half of last season.
Oh, no. I mean, they went on the road and had a 3-score lead. That would have never been a possibility
right.
last
year.
The
final score was similar to what you would have seen.
Yeah.
They lost them all by double figures. But as you pointed out that Frank mentioned on the broadcast, 13-0, the biggest lead they had at any point last year. They topped that in the first quarter of week one of the 2014 season.
And just like Gus said, and Gus said in the post game, and I think Clemens said in the post game, he's got to learn how to finish. And that takes time with a team that's still this young, even though it is year two. It takes something to learn how to do it. You have to do it a time or two, and then things might come a little, I don't want to say easier, but they'll come a little more often.
And it's easier for some people to reflect on the positivity. Hey, we had some good things there. I get it. You're up 17-0 at the half, man. There's no reason you ever think you're going to lose that football game. You're up 3-0 in the turnover margin. We're trying to put the odds. What are the odds right now on a rolling tally board in Vegas on the Jags at the half to win the game? We put it around 90% to win that football game.
I'm blaming you then.
It might be my fault.
Well done.
Know. All right, 355 NFL1. Got a few more minutes to get in.
Remember, field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you'll get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. All you have to do is register, jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Scobie today is getting everybody dinner. 49-yard field goal in the second quarter. Of course, he did miss one, have one blocked. The one blocked wouldn't have counted anyway. But everybody's getting a free sub tonight after that 49-yard field goal. When we come back, final segment of the Scoreboard Show. Phone lines are open. We'll get to some calls when we get back. 355-NFL1. 355-6351. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
A 49-yard touchdown run is good for the Jags. And what's good for the Jags is good for 67,000 fans in teal. And what's good for 67,000 fans in teal is good for you. At Baptist Health, our mission is to support everything that's good for you and your health. So as the official healthcare provider of the Jacksonville Jaguars, here's to a season full of touchdown runs. Visit BaptistJacks.com to discover more ways Baptist Health is changing healthcare for good.
During the Volkswagen Turbocharge sales event, you can get a $1,000 Turbocharge reward card when you purchase or lease a new 2014 Turbo model. So why are we so obsessed with Turbo? Well, because we like giving you power, but we also like giving you fuel efficiency, which is why we offer a fuel-efficient Turbo engine in every Volkswagen model, like the Jetta SE, the Jetta TDI Clean Diesel, the Jetta Hybrid, the Passat TDI Clean Diesel, you can't forget the sleek CC, the versatile Tiguan, the Touareg, and not to mention the iconic Beetle. So, like I said, $1,000 Turbocharge reward card with a Turbo offered in every Volkswagen model. Maybe that's why we've sold more turbos than any other brand over the last 10 years. So hurry in.
The Volkswagen Turbocharge sales event for a limited time only.
Volkswagen prepaid MasterCard Turbocharge reward card requires purchase of eligible vehicle. Allow 8 to 10 weeks for car delivery. Expires 2 years from issue date. Card offer ends September 2nd, 2014. See dealer or call 1-800-DRIVE-EW for details. See fueleconomy.gov for EPA estimates. Your mileage will vary and depends on several factors. More sold based on IHS Automotive Polk U.S. new vehicle total registrations for turbo vehicles May 2004 to March 2014.
In the market for jewelry? Then think Beards. Want the highest and nicest quality diamond jewelry? Then Beards is the place to go. Beards offers the largest selection of diamond jewelry in all of Northeast Florida and at the absolute lowest prices, guaranteed. In addition to the largest inventory and most competitive prices, Beards customer service is second to none. Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable.
This is Tony Baselli. I can tell you firsthand how important that home field advantage is at Everbank.
Jags fans, it's time to come protect the bank when your Jacksonville Jaguars face Andrew Luck and division rival Indianapolis Colts on September 21st at 1 p.m. Be at Everbank Field and witness what everyone's been talking about with the world's largest video boards and the NFL's best game day experience. Get your tickets today by visiting jaguars.com/tickets or calling 904-633-2000.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Call Insurance Office of America today, 1-800-243-6899. Property insurance is not available in the state of Florida from Auto Owners Insurance.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Final segment, Park Ride Relax. JTA Stadium Shuttle Service makes game day more enjoyable by providing hassle-free trips to the stadium. For ticket details and parking lot directions, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. This injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Jonathan Cyprian, head injury, reported that he left the stadium with glasses, apparent concussion. That was a scary situation on the field. Gerhardt left the game, came back. We'll see how that leg is, the ankle, moving forward. One we didn't mention earlier was Linder. Remember, he left the game late. Not sure of his status. I didn't get a report on that from the locker room, so we'll have to follow that one, too, and we'll see what happens going forward. Final segment of phone calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. If you don't get in here, remember, after this, the fifth quarter show, 641-1010. They'll be taking phone calls, too. Hacker and T-Way, let's get to some of these calls.
Let's do it. Let's go to E on the south side next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, E. E. All right.
All right, he's gone.
He's gone. Let's go to Beth in Arlington next up. Hi, Beth.
Hi, JP and Mike. I just wanted to make a comment. I thought they did really well the first half. There's a lot of positive that going forward to the next game. And we can always correct the mistakes, and the defense just have to finish, you know.
That's all fair. Very, very fair, and very positive, too. I mean, that's exactly what you heard the coaching staff. It's frustrating, yes. Everybody's frustrated with the second half of this game and what the Jags didn't do on third down, but in the end, it's a learning process. It's a young team, and they just have to learn how to do this.
When you're in the midst of the season, it's tough to have the big picture. It's tough to look at the big picture. In the offseason, you may say intellectually, I know that it's going to be another season building towards contention, but when you're in the midst of it and you're up 17-0 at the half, it doesn't make it any less frustrating. Jonathan in Tallahassee next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good. What's up?
Great.
Well, that was a crushing defeat. I was not very pleased. I liked the first half, what Chad did, but what's frustrating is that we get a lead and we can't hold it. And also what's frustrating is that Chad just can't be consistent. That's what's frustrating, and I really wish we would stick Bortles in there, and I'd like to see what he can do.
Well,
that's a new idea.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, Henny has been like that his whole career. Ask the Dolphins fans.
And that's
about
why
it.
I think Jag fans in the know are frustrated with Chad Henne, that even if you get a few weeks of good play, it's not going to be sustainable. But again, you go back to Carol, who called earlier saying Chad Henne's no franchise quarterback. They're not fooling themselves into thinking he is.
Right.
He is a placeholder until they deem the next guy, Blake Bortles, to be ready to go. I know everybody else thinks he's ready to go. I think he's ready to go, but I don't get that call. Let's go to Chris on the north side next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great.
Listen, I would just like to say on my thoughts for the game that all these people calling and talking about Henny was not the issue. I think Henny played well enough for us to win the game. It's two main problems on offense. That's the offensive line and the running game. We didn't get anything from the running game today. Toby Gerhardt was non-existent. His runs to the outside were really bad. He doesn't show me the speed or the quickness to get to the edge. So I think it's a waste of time sending him wide like that. I think he's a north and south kind of guy. Just needs to make one cut and get upfield. But I believe if we had more from the running game, things would have opened up for Mercedes and the others for Chad Henne to hit somebody later in this game, without a doubt.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Your phone was breaking up a little bit. That's an issue. And I can't wait to talk with Jeff Loggeman this week on all the shows here on the Jaguar Radio Network, as he'll watch the film. And is it the offensive line, JP? Is it Toby Gerhardt not hitting his fits? Or
is it both?
Is it a common rise? Right, combination of all these things. But clearly, this is something that didn't just pop up. This was pretty present all throughout the preseason.
And was it that? Was it the injury? Was it after the leg injury? Did that hamper him?
Was he not able to drive off of that ankle?
We don't know. We'll find out when they watch the film, and you'll hear it, I'm sure, tomorrow night on Jaguars Monday and on television tomorrow night with Lagerman and Kavaris.
Let's go. We'll wrap things up.
Yeah, last one.
Today, 355-NFL1, our number, 641-1010 for the fifth quarter with Hacker and T-Wig. But Jeff in Arlington, we'll get you in under the wire. How are you?
All right, Greg, guys. 17-0 at halftime. Scared the rest of the league. Everybody watching the TV around the nation. I got seven texts from Philly wondering what was going on. But that's what we build off of. One step at a time, wasn't Henny's fault. Jed Fish, not a real good game plan. We got to have coach in the second half. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, man.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
We got a tweet a minute ago said, when does the offensive coaching staff start taking some heat, man? It's been a game.
It's one
it's
game.
It's been one game.
There's 15 left.
And, you know, again, should you abandon the run? I mean, what can you do? If you can't become completely one-dimensional, especially when you're ahead at the half by three scores. You got to try to run the ball in the second half. If it's not there, should Jed Fish completely abandon the run? I mean, at what, you know, I'm not sure what corrections they want to see made. I'm not saying he called a perfect game by any stretch of the imagination, but part of it goes to that. Part of it goes to the execution of the guys responsible for running those plays.
Final score, 34-17. Eagles over the Jaguars next week, 10 o'clock with the Public's Tailgate Show, 12 noon on the Jaguars Radio Network with Countdown to Kickoff. The Jags and the Washington Redskins.
Redskins could be had. We saw it today.
Yes,
we're coming for them.
Great job. Mike Dempsey.
Same to you.
Tony Smith. Linda Fortunato answering the phones for everyone involved. This is J.P. Shadrick. That's it for the Scoreboard Show. Stay tuned. The fifth quarter show is next. Hacker and T-Wig on Jaguars Radio.